Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back. I feel like I haven't talked to you one-on-one in like so long. I mean, every day on the phone, but for the podcast.
But just like different.
I know.
Right?
I know. It's good. I'm excited to catch up. How are you?
I am fine.
Okay, yeah, so
it not great.
Fill the listeners in on like what has been going on.
Okay, wait, I am filling my water right now with High Street Tonic Spring Tonic. It's herbs,
yay,
vinegar, and honey,
yeah.
And then I'm gonna put some bitters in it. I just started my period, so I'm gonna like use something that's supportive for menstrual stuff. I think I'm gonna use the lavender, rose, and chamomile 5 o'clock.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds relaxing.
Okay, a couple droppers.
Little droops.
Anyways, I was jealous that Kaylee had a sparkling water, and I was like, I don't have anything. And then I was like, wait, I do. So I'm going to give it a little mix.
Clinky clink.
I hope that everyone could hear that. Anyways, so alcohol-free for 1 year and 2 months. For 2 years and 2 months. So that feels really good. For those of you who don't know, Kaylee and I went on retreat at the beginning of February, and we haven't recorded an episode since then.
Yeah, we've had a ton of really awesome special guests on, and we haven't had one to just dish. And since we just got back on retreat and traveling together and then like jumping back into regular life, I thought it'd be a good place to catch y'all up.
Yeah, yes. So as I said, I am okay. I started my period about 5 minutes before this recording, which is fine. It's all that I'm doing today. And then I'm going to go read and relax for the rest of the evening. My Sundays have looked like that recently.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, here for it. Okay, couple of things, big things going on in my life. I let go of one of my social media clients. And so I'm like doing less side work, which feels really good for me. Really excited about not filling that spot with a new client and just like knowing that's what I needed. I hired someone at my full-time job, so I'm working less there too. And yeah,
that
feels super supportive. I'm so grateful for her and like just being able to do that. I had an amazing week at the gym. I like had a bunch of PRs on my lifts, and then I tore my MCL and meniscus last week. And we're waiting on MRI results to confirm my ACL as well. So self-care is going to look different for me for the next 4 to 6 months, probably. So I can't wait to dive into that with everyone. You know, how much movement has been a part of my life and my like alcohol-free journey. So I was feeling a little in the feels, and I still am, but I'm just trying to like let myself feel it and, you know, not turn it off and turn on my work brain and like get lost in a bunch of other stuff. Just kind of be sad and also know that I'm going to be okay. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Steve and I are house hunting, still going on year two, which is great. but we've made a little headway there, so that's exciting. And my dog is huge, and I am absolutely obsessed with him.
So cute.
I know. Oli is the best, and the cats are tolerating him now, which is also really nice. There's more peace in the house.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So that's like just a little update for me. Oh, another thing. I started working with a nutritionist, and like my first thing when I hurt myself was like, oh, I'm going to fire my nutritionist. Like, I'm not exercising. Why would I ever need to work with someone? And I'm like, wait. I think this is the thing that I need to do right now. So I'm just going to be working with him and just kind of letting go of all the expectations of like building muscle and like having this, you know, like really aesthetic goal, and have just more of this like eating for my mental health and like just take care of myself and have better habits around food goal. So that also feels good.
Yeah, dude, I love that, especially because it is something that's within your control.
Yeah.
When there's a lot that's kind of not right now, you know, and I feel like whatever you learn in those like foundational sessions will be transferable. Like you can take that information and continue to apply it when you're able to be like up and fully moving again. So that's
totally
great.
Totally. Okay, Kaylee, what is happening for you? Where are you at since we last caught up?
Yeah. Let's see. I've been tweaking around with a lot of things. And it's funny because my partner the other day was like, do you ever just try one thing? And I was like, fuck you.
I hate that.
But so true, right? Like, we'll like get into it a little bit more, but we learned some like skincare stuff at their retreat. And so now I'm like drinking spearmint tea. And I just scheduled, like got into partnership with a personal trainer. So I'm really excited about that. I had my first session like 2 days ago and she's fucking rad. Her name's Shannon. She's great. So I'm really excited about that, just to take like a lot of mental weight off my plate, because I've been, you know, just kind of doing, again, trying and doing all of the things. And it's nice to just have like one person to be able to get to know me and work with me and kind of understand where I'm coming from and how we can do things in a way that's sustainable. So I'm pumped about that.
Yeah.
And something that I wanted to won't ever really talk too much about on the podcast, just because it doesn't involve only me. But I've been going to couples counseling for probably a few months now. And I just think, just like I was on the bandwagon of like every single person and their mom needs to go to therapy. Like, if you are working on your personal health and your like personal fitness and all of that, that whole like mental physical journey, like relationships are also a whole thing that need like attention, and having like a dedicated space to be able to spend time on that, you know, is just so lit. So now I think everyone should be in personal therapy. And then if you're in a relationship, then I think you should just immediately go to therapy.
I was going to say, so because Kaylee's in couples therapy, naturally, I was like, well, I need to be in couples therapy. So my husband and I also have been doing that since November. And it is not easy.
Dude, I walk away every time being like, wow, I am the...
Yeah, hi, it's me.
It's me. I have so many hangups. Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. But the thing is... And we should do a whole episode about this. It's like part of the reason why dry heart is so important is that like so much of our core wounding and the things that we struggle with came from relationships.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
And so the only way we can heal them like karmically is in relationships.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And if you haven't like talked about therapy with your partner, honestly, it's like such a good thing to just understand if that's something they would be willing to do.
Good information. Yeah,
just good information to gather, because there is still like a huge stigma around it, you know? And I think just like everything else, like I started going to therapy and advocating for my own mental health and, you know, certain things, and stopped drinking because other people were showing up and talking about it. And so I just like in theme of this being a space to like show people that they're not alone and that they have a community and that like shit's fucking hard and we're just doing our best. Like, that is one of the things that I'm doing. And it's been a huge game changer. It's been so fucking awesome. And personal therapy has been great. And I've been doing it on and off for, since I was 13, but nothing has like, because I think, like you said, Katie, so much of my core wounding is around a lot of that stuff. I am being like shook to my core.
Well, you have to think about it. Like, we're born literally perfect. We're imprinted on from 0 to 7. And then like what Lacey Phillips says, you know, 14 if you're being generous. And like all of that is through relationship and from people who have also been imprinted on by other relationships. And so the only way to undo it is like, A, being in relationships that create enough safety for you to even start look at that stuff.
For sure.
And then B, like talking about that safety and what, I mean, just going through it with, you know, the partner. And I would say, too, if you're with someone who is adverse to the idea of therapy or thinks they are, remember that everything takes time. I mean, I talked about going to therapy for years before I even committed. And then same with my partner and I. So I just wanted to add that bit. I wasn't like, hey, we should get into therapy. And my partner wasn't like, yeah, it was like, don't know. Sure. Yeah. And then years later, we like finally booked the appointment.
Totally. And it's so scary for so many reasons. And there's times where I literally am like,
do we have to go?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to do this. So yeah, that's not to say that if you're with someone who's hesitant about being open to that. Also, it is a financial commitment that we are having to budget in. So don't like, you know, just drop someone that you're really feeling good about because they might be a little hesitant, but it's something like cool to bring up and just something to think about.
Okay. Okay. So what else is going on for you? Anything that you wanted to cover?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I'm 883 days alcohol free, which is cool. And I think it's interesting. I'm like in the first day, I think, of my follicular stage, but I was on my period last week and I just felt really ugly and weird. And so I like hid from everyone and wasn't really like reaching out and watched a lot of TV and was like going through my old therapy notes and was like, fuck, man. Like, am I going to be working through the same shit forever? Like, this is literally from 2016 to 2019. And I'm just, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like a like Russian doll of,
oh my God. Like, like the, you just like take the Russian doll out of the first and then out of the.
Yeah. But, yeah. And especially with like comparison, like age 30 to age 20 to age 15, like I'm always like just like looking back and being like, oh, like here are all these regrets I have. And here's how I feel like I could have been living my life better. Like, and like, I don't want to be 40, like idealizing and putting rose colored glasses on my 30s. And then like now being in my 30s, putting rose colored glasses on my
20s. Yeah, because in your
20s,
like, you were just literally going to the hospital for fucking alcohol poisoning in the middle of the day on a Monday or whatever. Like,
and yeah. And like, regardless of what my physical appearance was projecting to the outside world, like I was insanely unhappy and sick most of the time for sure. So, you know, like I was in a super toxic relationship and I was like daydreaming of, you know, just like moving to Portland and having a job at an agency and getting a boyfriend who's nice to me and a dog. And now I'm like, I have those things. So can I stop looking at pictures of me when I was 23 and like wanting to be that? Because that's just not, I don't know. It's just snapshots. But yeah, I'm just trying to do some work and finding that I'm really afraid of doing that, just like with couples counseling. Like, I think there's a lot of blind faith that's involved in healing.
Okay, can we quote that? Hang on. I'm getting a Google Doc.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Wait. There's a lot of...
Okay, so like, here's just kind of like where I'm at mentally, I guess. I'll try and like put my thought process together. I think that there's a little bit of blind faith that's involved in healing. And I say that because right now I have a lot of hard work to do and I don't want to do it. Like, I want to smoke weed and I want to watch Love Island and I want to be left alone and have no one talk to me or hold me accountable or fucking perceive me. Right. Mm. And like, I really like, I know that I need to, stop vaping. It's no longer serving me. It's been something on my plate for a long time. I've been having a lot of feelings about my like marijuana consumption and about how consistent it is and how often it's happening and just seeing a lot of the same patterns with weed, with alcohol and just like binging shit and binging everything because I don't want to think and feel.
Dude.
Party. Cool. So basically like what I experienced with alcohol, like when I first stopped drinking, I feel like logically I know that when I quit vaping or when I quit like getting fucking stoned out of my mind all the time, that like it does like that normal things feel a little bit brighter. Like it ends up like feeling really good, like that pink cloud of not drinking. But you have to like believe and trust that things are going to be better on the other side while you get through the thick of it. Like while you get through that really like shitty, like messy, sticky part. And I have never really had blind faith in anything. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I don't know, I'm struggling with like the long-term benefits versus the short-term like pain that I'll experience for not having that thing that I'm now addicted to, you know. So that's kind of what I've been just ruminating in while I've been on my period the past week and sitting at home alone. But yeah, so that's kind of what like I've been think. I got home from retreat and was like, I want to do all the things. Like,
first
I just had
all.
So much time. Like, yeah.
First of all, Kaylee's
all.
Like, I'm not going to bring weed to retreat, and the fucking retreat facilitator gave her weed while we were there, and I was going to scream.
Yeah, I was like totally gonna raw dog for a week and was planning on it, but our retreat leader brought gummies
and was like, here, watch The Bachelor. And we were like, I was like, I'm fucking out. Get me off this island. It's not an island.
I was like, it's like, do you want a gummy? And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, why
and
not?
And then I took one and also. To be fair,
and like my tolerance is so high that sadly, like, not really a whole lot happened. And maybe I was like sweating it out through my pores, but
that was not fair for me because I don't ever take gummies or do weed anymore. Like, I've been on a dry spell for a couple months and I ate half of it and then I panicked because it was 10 milligrams. That's way more than I take. I was like,
and was that when we like went into the like a
yes. Yes, I was going to say I was drugged on retreat, but that's not true. I am the one that drugged myself with weed.
Then we went into like, was that the steam hut or was that the cacao ceremony?
It was the cacao ceremony. That was bullshit.
Okay. Okay, cool. Sweet. So yeah, basically that's like catching up to like where I've been in the past week and just some things I've been like ruminating on and trying to be like, I did this with alcohol. I can also do this with all of my addictions, but then I will have literally nothing fun in my life.
Everything is fun.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
I'm so
anyway,
annoyed.
Like full train. No, but like full transparency, that's what I'm going through right now, you know, is just being like, yeah, it's cool that I'm 883 days without alcohol and I should be like really stoked and celebrating that. But I am sitting here being like, I am a fucking addict and I just binged like 5 cookies and I've smoked so much weed and I've just been high all day. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say, but I'll quote you and I'll just say what you always say. You just got to rip off the Band-Aid. You say that on the podcast all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate our own advice. I have been I've been having my own melodrama with my relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just I get really sucked in and wrapped into whatever is happening around me really easily. And I know that I'm not meant to. Like, per my astrological chart in all of the realms, but yeah,
but you have those open centers too, right?
All those open energy centers. So, so I like have, you know, I do this thing, and I don't know if I've really talked about this on the pod or not. I feel like we've talked so much now, I don't really remember. But I tell myself stories about things that aren't actually happening in my relationships, or I play out all the scenarios in which things can go wrong in my relationships before they do, and then I sit with the anxiety of that. And it's really hard for me sometimes, instead of being direct, I fawn over people when I feel like they're upset with me or we're not okay or we're not on great terms. And that came up for me a lot the last couple of weeks. And it's funny now, as I started my period today, that I know that a lot of that was just a part of my cycle. But it's nice to be able to observe those things. It just, you know, like quarterly, it feels like once every 3 months. It just like feels like everything in my life kind of comes to a head. And this time, yeah, I mean, I was involved in it. I did some of that future tripping, you know, stuff that we talk about.
Yeah.
But I also was like, wait, I'm doing it. So it was nice to have the awareness and to be like,
yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. And I had to have a couple of really hard conversations with people. And one with a friend that I'm like, I don't even know if I needed to have it. I think I was just being overly sensitive, but I'm still really proud of myself for the way that I showed up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sensitivity is a gift. And sometimes it's really easy for me to like vilify it, but it's just my ability to be able to suss shit out. Like, I just am highly sensitive. I actually just saw this. Now my whole algorithm is going to be like people, HSP, you like highly sensitive
HSP
people.
Is on
yeah. And I think that that's like a really overly used term. I think that everyone is fucking highly sensitive, you know, just as existing, like in exist, like as we exist. And I think that as we stop drinking and as we start to really like broaden our awareness, we become more sensitive. So I think it's happening like on a collective level right now too. So that's probably why it feels more true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I still think you're like this in like amazing word wizard with there's a little bit of blind faith involved in healing. I like need to put that on a graphic for our Instagram.
Thanks. Yeah. I think I probably typed that up in my notes app while I was high.
So. Okay. So that's something that's really interesting, Kaylee, because, you know, when I first started doing the To Be Magnetic work, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. the only way I can get into that hypnosis state and like really do the dreaming imagination DIs, you know, deep imagination yeah. DIs is if I'm stoned. And yeah. so when yeah. I quit smoking weed, I stopped doing the work because it wasn't fun.
Yeah. And now. Yeah. And that's totally. I've been getting so much stuff done, honestly, like around the house and just like I've been cleaning and I've been like I feel like on top of my shit. But the way that I'm getting through that and doing it and not just fucking white knuckling it is being high the whole time. So I, again, just like I'm going to be here being fully transparent and letting you all know that like that's what's going on.
And it's such a cool thing to be able to talk about because it's this and that. Like this is working for me and it still doesn't feel good for me. Like it's.
Yeah. And I'm using crutches to get mm-hmm. by still mm-hmm. like I'm not raw dogging it. I'm not just like experiencing it. I'm not I'm still not really like opening Pandora's box of feeling my yeah. feelings
one step at right a now. Time dude like but it's kind of sure. cool watching you get closer and closer to this like precipice of like change where you're like no I can't buy this for myself anymore. And you know, not everyone needs to not smoke weed. Like if that's your medicine, like I'm here for that conversation too. Like I want to have you on the totally. Podcast. Honestly, our episode with Vince, like he's so such good. An advocate for Vince. Marijuana and I am never going to knock something for everyone. But as you know, my relationship with marijuana felt like an addiction. So totally. Which is like a yeah. whole other thing, Kaylee. Like you kind of opened up to me last week about that. Word and what does that feel like for you right now?
Yeah, I so here's the deal. Here's my fucking shit. So I feel like I'm noticing a lot of, like I said, the like similar patterns with alcohol, right? Like I'm starting to, like when my partner runs upstairs, I take a hit of my weed pen. Like I'm hiding the amount.
You're
that
high
I'm
hiding,
right? Yeah, I'm high hiding. And I'm doing it in the same way as vaping where I'm like not I'm just like dopamine hit. Like I'm not even thinking about
you're
it.
You're not like getting stoned intentionally, like lighting your candles and like having your joint at night to like have a snack and go to bed.
Yeah, like I mean that is kind of every oh my night, god. But also yeah, like I'm kind of torn because I see that I'm like living the best life that I've ever lived, even with this substance. So I'm like, well, it can't be that fucking bad. But I'm feeling this guilt and shame around it. How much of that is internal? How much of that is something I actually should kind of pay attention to? Because if it's something that I'm doing more and more and more and more, because unfortunately, just like alcohol tolerance, right? Like you need to consume more and more to like get that feeling. And if I'm doing it like earlier and earlier, and like now it's like my weekends, and it's, I don't know, it's just like it does kind of become another crutch of like, okay, if I'm gonna go do this thing, or if I'm gonna go hang out with these people, or like I'm excited, like I'm looking forward to getting off work and smoking weed, like it's just again, like instead of going to Plaid Pantry and getting a bottle of wine and like drinking that, I am like getting off work, going to Electric Lettuce, shout out, great dispensary.
Yeah, beautiful. just like their whole setup is really nice.
Yeah. And they're like a block away from my Ooh. House, which is, you know, bad or great, depending on where we're looking mm-hmm. at this. And yeah, like smoking a joint. Like I love like going outside and when it's sunny and smoking a joint and reading a book or like calling my friends. And I don't know. It's just that's kind of where I'm at with it, where I'm like, this feels really similar to alcohol. It definitely doesn't feel as bad. I don't feel as much shame around it. I don't feel like I'm ruining my fucking life. I'm still going to the gym. I'm still like fucking killing it at work. And the thing is it does give me that like creative sit down, bust shit out sort of energy. So it works really well when I'm thinking about like writing, which I am passionate about, but don't do a whole lot, or, working on, you know, the website for Dry Hard Pod or whatever it is. Like it makes it easy for me to sit down and like kind of like do shit. But the problem is I'm getting distracted, and then I have like 15 million different tabs open, and I've gotten like 5 minutes of a lot of different things done usually.
I was gonna say, I actually put my phone in the other room today and I got 3 hours of work done on my computer. I never do that. That was a first. And I was like, fuck, I need to do this more often.
Dude, that's a thing. I don't want to get on too long of a tangent, but with me and my partner, because he, you know, wants to be able to get a hold of me, like if he's at the grocery store or just to make sure like I'm safe or he has a question to ask me. And I'm really not reliable Mm-mm. when it comes to Mm-mm. answering my phone and like being there for You're people not. Because my phone is always fucking on silent. It's always in the other room. Like I just don't. I use it like I see it as like this is something for me when I want to like check social media or when I want to text people, but I don't consider other people like I just it's always on silent. It's always fucking like it's on do not disturb right now. And I have to remember to turn it back off of do not disturb when I get done with this, because I just like don't. And maybe that's it's sort of good because then I don't really have an attachment to my that phone, but I also like never know where it is, can't find it, and I'm just not. If people need to get a hold of me, I just am not available.
So funny.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's another one of my little bad, or I don't know, interesting habits.
Yeah, I have days where I'm like, I go to that little setting and I look at how many times I picked up my phone, and it makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
But I'm reading a book right now that Skimberly sent to me, and it's called Stolen Focus, and it's really good, and I'm really excited to dive into it more this week, especially since I can't go to the gym now. I'm going to be reading more. But the overall gist right now is it's talking about how our focus is stolen from us. And I really love the way that it's written. It's written like as a story by the author, and it's self-help, right? So that's nice because, yeah, cool. It's not just like this dry ass book. And I feel like I'm reading a fiction, like a story, even though it's not. Everything could be taught that way to me. That would be great.
Oh, for real. Because I'll read, I'm on chapter 3 of How to Quit Smoking. Thanks. I've been on it for 3 months. and even when we were at retreat, dude, like I didn't really read that much. I was journaling and I was like, you know, kind of like writing down my thoughts.
You were doing
but,
that a lot.
I have Feeling Good, which is another one that goes really deep into like cognitive behavioral therapy. And I'm super into that shit. But I will read 3 pages, 4 pages and just fall the fuck asleep.
Dude, that is one of the biggest things I did when I, by the way, when I stopped smoking weed was I know I can't read a book when I'm high. And yeah. So I would be like, okay, if I want to read this story, I know I can't smoke tonight. And that's, I've been reading the Throne of Glass series. Shout out to all my fantasy fiction nerds. And on retreat, I read so much. I finished that whole book.
Yeah, she did while I was passed the fuck out, like snoring.
It was sad, though. I stayed up until like 1:30 in the morning reading. But you know what? Dude, if I'm reading a book, I'm not going to beat myself up about anything.
That's the thing, right? Like, I'm like getting at this rushing doll, like stacking thing. It's like, okay, I quit drinking, but I'm still smoking weed and I'm still vaping. And then when I quit vaping, I'm still going to be
but
smoking weed.
But you could
weed.
And so rush and doll it like, okay, I'm still vaping and I'm still smoking weed, but I'm not drinking. Okay, I'm still smoking weed, but I'm not vaping. And I'm not drinking. Okay, I am no longer smoking weed. I am no longer vaping, and I'm no longer drinking alcohol. And I am these things. You know what I mean? Like, it's literally a language change, and it makes all the difference for the progression of your little Russian doll theory, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it just feels like, when is it ever
going to be? Dude, it's never fucking over.
Enough?
It's literally our existence.
Yeah, to stop the fucking hamster wheel and just be like, I'm doing enough.
You are.
Like, God. Okay. So speaking of, so that's that. There's like 4 tangents in that update, but Do we want to dive into like how our experience was at retreat and what kind of led to us like coming back and being like, okay.
First of all, how can we block people from listening to this episode? We can't.
Yeah, that's an interesting question and an important one for this. We could potentially launch it just on Patreon, but I really want everyone to be able to get to listen to it.
So we're just not going to worry. You know what? Kaylee and I both have open throat centers in the human design, and so we're just going to over-communicate about what's going on.
Yeah, and I think we can also just maybe like not necessarily like name names,
yeah, I like
or
that.
Like link out to
yeah we're
the
not
thing.
Gonna put it's the link just... to the website of no okay cool
yeah yeah I think we can just like,
well, then you have a voice for this already, so why don't you take the lead so I get the tone so I can gauge okay, how cool. much I'm gonna share.
Yeah. How much you're gonna share? Okay, cool. So overall, it was Katie and I's second time traveling together. I think we travel really well
so
together, which is amazing.
So much fun.
There was absolutely no internal drama, but the retreat was held by someone who had never previously gone on a retreat before,
other than her own.
Yeah, other than doing her own, I don't know. Danny and I have been talking about this a little bit. Like sometimes it's just like you see everyone doing all the things and you want to get excited and you want to like find other ways that you can like live your best life while also monetizing it. Right. So
I get it.
Yeah. However, I think that the website and the things that were kind of promised or like the expectations of what the retreat was going to be like was not super clearly communicated.
Wait. No, it was clearly communicated on the website, but that's not what the retreat was like.
Right.
Sorry.
Yes. So I think that there was just a lot of overpromising and a lot of under-delivering and a lack of some of the interpersonal, maybe like facilitator skills there for what you would expect from like going on retreat and wanting to really like learn and grow and kind of be vulnerable and open up to like that community and the people that you're there with. So yeah, I mean, I think we could maybe we'd just do like a list of like you go into it, Katie.
So I want to first say that overall, I'm at a place in my life where I am so grateful for the experience, which feels really good. And it's really hard to trust people and to go in blindly to things.
Dude, again, yeah, that like blind faith and like trust of like, okay, we don't really know what's going on, but we're flying and we're showing up. And
so first of all, first night, Kaylee gets into a taxi that's not actually permitted to pick up at the airport. That was set up by the retreat facilitator and the airport police at the airport,
Cancun
Airport, intervened and put her in a cab with an unknown taxi driver that got lost and wouldn't give us his name. So that kind of set the tone.
Yeah, and I was nervous.
It was scary.
I mean, there have been just some communications where it was like, you know, we're gonna like your welcome package is coming on this day, and then it like didn't come for a while, and then I needed to follow up, and I contacted one of the taxis, and he was like, "Oh, I can't pick up here because it's a federal zone. I can take you anywhere you want in, you know, within like the city limits, but I can't pick you up from the airport." I was like, cool. And so I messaged on the WhatsApp where everyone was. I was like, hey, this person can't do this, just FYI. And I was like, oh, okay, here's this other person. So I communicated with him and he was like, yeah, I'll pick you up. Great.
No, he did pick us up illegally and he got in trouble.
Yeah. And he was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
He's great.
We're friends on Instagram now.
Yeah. We're obsessed with him. But because of the way like the pickups happened and stuff, he picked up Katie first and then was going to come back to get me. But it was like a 40-minute ride from the airport, which makes sense. Like he couldn't hang out like they were. And when you get out of the Cancun airport, there's a lot of people that are like, hey, where are you going? Do you want to take this taxi? Like, let me put your bags in here. You know, and they're just really kind of trying to do their business. They're hustling.
And they pay for permitting to do that. So it's like, it's legit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. But then I'm like standing out there and I'm like, cool, I know where I'm at. Like I am like WhatsApp messaging this guy. It's all good. But this person with like a little airport badge kept like bothering me. And I was like, no, it's good. It's all good. Like he'll be here. And he kept asking me questions. And I was like, was he the same person that picked someone up earlier? Like, is it through an Airbnb? Like, what's it? And I'm like, yeah, you know, like it's just he's coming to get me. Like, it's fine. I'm good. Not knowing that there was like that they had been eyeing this person picking people up from the airport all day and they are like waiting to bust him. So he shows up and as soon as he like pulls his car up, three people with badges and just like are basically blocking me from entering his car. And he's waving me on like, come on, come on, come on. And I'm like, there's someone physically blocking this car. I cannot, I don't know. And he is calling me, but the WhatsApp isn't going through. And I'm like, fuck, like, sorry. And then they like get me into this. He's like, we're calling the police. He's not legally allowed to be here. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, you need to get into this taxi. This is a federal taxi. Showed me all the badges and whatever. And was like, they try and like scam people. They're not allowed to do this. Like they'll charge you way more money. He was going to charge me $40 American. So I was like, okay. And they're like, but so you need to get in this car. Here's this person. Thankfully, it was like a sweet little like 28-year-old guy who was just like, hey.
Like, yeah, but how much did you pay for that?
$100 American.
So funny. Anyways. So that's how the first night went.
It started.
Which was fine.
I was sort of kidnapped.
Sort of kidnapped. And like got to the Eco Lodge like hours and hours after.
Yeah, I'd been on the plane. I went to my first airport at 3:30 in the morning and I didn't get to the Eco Lodge until 8 o'clock that night. So I was a little spent.
I know.
Emotionally.
And when Kaylee showed up, I was like, oh my gosh, you look like you're handling this so well. And she goes, I cried in the backseat of the cab. I was like, okay.
I did. I had a little cry, but honestly, like, I really wanted to show up with, like, a good attitude.
You're so
like,
sweet.
I don't know. But I did. I had a moment, but God, like, cool that it wasn't past me who would have just sobbed and been, like, shaking uncontrollably and not able to figure the situation out.
Slash, you know? You would have been three sheets to the wind because you would have drank at the airport bar while you're waiting for your cab.
Yeah, I would. I would have been like, oh, cool. It's going to be another hour. Sweet.
Yeah.
Get me to this
duty free
fucking Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump. Yeah, they did have a Bubba Gump.
Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway. So there is a lot about the retreat that would be like really specific and detailed that we could go into with you. But like overall, it was a holistic skincare and human design retreat. And the human design portion was mind-blowing. And so informative. And I feel like I connected with that facilitator. Shout out to Hypno Seed Love. Love Seed Hypnotherapy is her name. There we go.
Yeah. She had a whole workbook, like was very prepared, had an agenda for every single day.
Yeah, she put a workbook together for each of our human design, like, and not just human design, like also our gene keys, also a bunch of hexagrams. And it was just like, oh, it was for me so soul fulfilling. And I came back just ready to dive in deeper to my hologenetic profile and human design and just to keep passing on that love. And I'm just like, feel so lit up by it.
Yeah, it was awesome. Also, I felt like the people who owned the Eco Lodge like hated us, especially there was this little he was like probably
15,
like a teenage boy. Yeah, he like looked like a little fuck boy, had like a little hat like flipped up
his one ear piercing, like dangly ear piercing. They're from Costa Rica, the owners of the lodge.
So cool. So amazing. But he just seemed like a little too cool for school. And I kept catching him like using the hose on the animals or like like fucking with the animals.
Yeah, like hitting him
bit.
With the broom, like chasing him with the broomstick.
Yeah. So I had my eye on him and he tried to scope out Katie while she was changing.
After my massage, he was literally looking in the massage room. And I was like, I looked at him and I was like, yo. And he was just like, and he like scurried away. It was so funny.
Little peeping Tom.
I know. Bullshit.
There was a point where they were working on our air conditioner and because it was like literally spitting ice cubes. It was like too cold or it was too hot.
And like the whole, so we're like in the jungle too. Like we sit in the jungle and our palapas, as Kaylee was calling them, our little, like...
Which, I don't know if that's what they're called. I took that reference from Bachelor, so excuse me for being unfucking cultured.
No, they're just like, I'm pretty sure it's fine. I don't think it's a culture issue. I don't know what the fuck to call it. Okay. It's like a villa. And it was in the jungle, like under trees. So there's no sunlight that comes into them. And like, it was just like full of water and moisture, and it was just moldy. And the air conditioning could just not keep up with the heat. And it wasn't even that it was hot. It was that, like, everything was wet in our room.
Yeah, yeah. Our throats would wake up and be just, like, a little bit raspy, which is, like, hard. There's not a whole lot you can do. They ended up putting a dehumidifier in our room. Not because
we
demanded it or asked for it or anything, but they were, like, trying to fix the air conditioning. And they're like, oh, in the meantime, we'll do this. But two of the guys were standing outside. the teenage dude and this other guy who works on the facility, and they asked the teenage kid, like, does she speak Spanish? And the kid was like, looked at me and was like, yeah. Was
like, yeah, Kate, hi. Hey,
sorry. Not very well, but I might be able to know if you're talking shit about us. I am so sorry. Like, I do not want to be fucking White Lotusing this situation. Oh,
yeah.
Just like, you know, just there was,
So something I've talked about on the podcast a lot for me is like how eating is like a non-negotiable of mine. Like, it's something I've really had to work on, like, to actually eat and prioritize three meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really disappointed to find out that there was no way to have lunch on site, like where we were staying. And we didn't know that until after we got there. And that was difficult for me. It was hard. I was starving, you guys. I was like, I am so hungry and my blood sugar gets low. And I just...
Yeah, there were nights we went to bed starving. Hungry. And like, I had some protein bars that we snacked on.
But yeah, there was just some things that were lined out incorrectly and then not covered by the facilitator when we got there. The facilitator is like not from there. They're from the US. But I learned a lot at the skincare, in the skincare portion. What about you?
Yeah. The daily skincare workshops were
the two that we have.
It's so hard. It's so hard because I'm both absolutely terrified of this person finding out and listening to this, and I already feel bad, but I also want to be like as honest as possible, and the more uncensored we can be, like, the funnier we can make these stories. But it's just so fucking hard. But
oh my gosh, yeah, the daily skincare. We had two.
We did have two. Yeah, it was supposed to be like a 3-part skincare workshop, and I felt like the first day was super educational. You know, we went through a lot of like what we're currently doing and what we could maybe tweak. So that felt really personalized and awesome, because there also was only one other person on the retreat. Except for me, besides me and Katie. She was a fucking G.
Shout out to Martha.
Yeah, we love Martha. She's amazing. So it was like me and Katie and Martha chilling in this experience. And then the person doing the skincare, and then her sister did the human design, and her friend was doing the yoga. So the third skincare workshop, unfortunately, was just us all getting the same mask put on us and then washing it off in our rooms. So it felt less like a workshop and more like something I could like get done at Sephora with my beauty rouge.
Guys, I cannot hold it together. Okay, I do need to say, I wish that I had my notebook. I don't know where it is right now. We got these little notebooks there, journals. And part of that last skincare workshop. Okay, oh, wait, I'm gonna backtrack. Kaylee and I cried ourselves to sleep every night laughing at the day's events.
There was just things that were happening that we were like, I cannot believe that just happened. Like, we're not getting fed, and this like sacred ceremony was like interrupted by these. Yeah.
It was just so bad.
And I had never been on a retreat before. I had literally no fucking idea what to expect. And Katie's been on a legit
amazing retreat, like so transformative and like just unbelievable and hard, right? Like,
yeah.
Shout out to Nina Camille and Experience Freedom if anyone wants to go on a retreat. Go to that one. Okay. Oh my gosh, I can't keep it together. Okay, so she had us, the facilitator of their whole retreat was the same person who did the skincare. And the workshop was like the inner self, like the inner skincare work, right? Like the self-love aspect, because to her, she was saying that like skincare is, you know, all about like loving and showing up for yourself, which I totally agree with. I love that aspect of it. And I really appreciate the Gua Sha tutorial. And I love the products that we were given even too.
Same. Oh, same. Yeah. And I'm totally going to be like purchasing and supporting those products like from that person.
I'm glad that you're deciding to do that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my shadow is bitter.
Yes. So bitch, you need to not be bitter. What I was going to say was that, you know, this person was like, write down like things that you love about yourself. And everyone at the table was like hemming and hawing. And I was like, like writing down like hundreds of things on this list.
So good.
And it was just so funny because we had to read them out loud. And after I read, I went last. And after I read mine out loud, the facilitator was like, wow, I can tell you went on that retreat last summer and you've really been doing the work. And I was like, I can't tell if you're saying that because you hate me so much or because I have been, you know, it was just like such an interesting experience. Oh, man. Bless them.
Yeah, they're I think for me, it was just like a lot of the like over promising and being like, on the website, there's a 3-hour snorkel retreat that never happened and we never talked about. And then we kind of found out low key that we were going to get charged for the taxi that we all took to the beach together. And the, yeah, not getting fed lunch and being like, oh, after this ceremony, there's going to be this like awesome electrolyte water to like replenish everything and a ton of fruit. And then it was like
a slice of watermelon. And I hate watermelon. And there was no electrolyte water. There was like high fructose corn syrup thawed out juice in a like pitcher.
Yeah. And then it was like nightly journaling and meditation.
And there was
meditation was not, there was no facilitated or guided meditation outside of the human design stuff.
And when I asked about the 8 p.m. meditation, I was told that that was just like a like loose suggestion that we could all be doing that on our own, but the facilitator would be eating a gummy and watching The Bachelor and her palapa instead. And I was like,
which respect, no. Like I do that on my daily life, but I'm here to try and like break free.
This
from
is a replenish retreat. We're not at home.
Yeah. There was a lot like, dinner will be available.
Oh,
like they'll
no.
let us know beforehand and you get to choose like what you want. Like if they're making anything, you know, we can adjust and whatever. But it really just seemed like this person wanted to be able to come to this place and be able to afford to come to this place often. And so, and you know, that's just my initial kind of putting the pieces together, that it was a lot of like what she wanted and what she wanted to eat and how she wanted things to run and what she wanted to do for that day. And was less about like really making sure that our experience was transformative. And I put on my form that I didn't want to eat fish. And one night we had shrimp and
fish.
That
shrimp
was
and fish ceviche.
Yeah. And that was an issue. And I tried to just, you know, kind of not make a big deal about it because I'm like, I would rather just like literally
starve,
like roll over and die and eat a protein bar in my like in our palapa and not talk about it. And Katie was like, oh, shoot, like, are there, you know, and like homie Martha was like, you need a protein. Like, are you OK? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's all good. Like, oh, and like the salad was so wet. It was like the wettest salad that I was just kind of having as a side.
And the facilitator was like, you said you don't eat fish. You didn't say you don't eat seafood. And
yeah,
Kaylee was like,
yeah,
oh, like I don't eat anything from the sea. I guess I should have like been more specific. And then the next remark was, so is it safe to assume you won't be eating the tuna steak on Friday? And I was like, that's fish. And also all the while, like while this is going on, I will say that like in hindsight, we can talk about it with a different type of like banter, right? Like we're being flippant, we're laughing about it. But at the time it was uncomfortable for everyone. No one knew what to do. We didn't know this person. And like, we were like, are we mean? Like what's happening?
And there was a lot of conflict between that person, their sister, and their friend.
The entire retreat. And I'm like, I could have fucking flown home to Michigan, and so could my sister. And my mom and my sister and I could have hung out at home and had this same argument and like had these same interactions. Like there was no deeper connection and deep work going on and processing. However, I don't think that these people are bad people, and I don't think that they meant to do it. I just think that the facilitator of the overall retreat is lacking in awareness that I just don't know. I'm not sure if they're okay. So anyways, overall, there was like a lot of fighting between the facilitators, which was awkward for us as people who paid to go on the retreat.
Like in front of us, yeah. Like a lot of like kind of, downputting remarks towards each other, conflict.
Towards us too. At the end, there wound up being some downputting remarks towards us as attendees by the facilitators. I really had to practice this muscle that I am learning that like, it's not my job to stand up for everyone. And so like, I was like, wait, no, I'm going to let Kaylee handle this how Kaylee wants to handle this. Like, I'm going to let this person handle that. Like, I really had to take a step back from being the person who wants to stand up to the bully, right? Like, yeah. Anyways.
And we were, I was like, you know, kind of texting Danny the whole time while this is happening. And at first he's like, you know, I was bummed because it seemed like there was a lot of free time and that we were really close to the beach. And so I thought that we would be able to use all of our free time to get to like hang out on the beach and chill and like journal on the beach and all this stuff. But we were trapped in the middle of the jungle and like couldn't leave this really kind of close quarters with these other people. And I think that was hard for me, and to just like be in other people's energy for a long time. There was a lot of times where like kind of conflict or arguments or some sort of tensions started to brew, and I just literally walked away and like hit my vape and like went to go play with the lemurs, because I was just having a hard time with that. Like, I don't have siblings. My family never talks about conflict. Like, so that it was just super new for me, and maybe good for me to be exposed to that.
Yeah. But, yeah. Exactly. And I feel like for me too, it was like, I challenged myself to sit in it and to just observe and to not resolve anyone's conflict, but just to then participate after the conflict, like fresh slate. Hey, like, what do you think about this? And then I found myself like starting to gravitate more towards this facilitatory voice in the group, where I was asking the hard questions and like kind of taking over in my like,
I guess not maybe technically strategy. But you like one of Katie's skills based on human design and just also how she is as a person is to really identify kind of like, what do we need here? Like, how do we get through this stickiness and like get through to the other side? Yeah. So what I'm seeing and witnessing is this. Mm-hmm. And as like this person kind of floating above the situation, like, here's how we move on. Yeah. Here's what we, you know, these are the questions that need to be asked. And it was like, honestly, really needed. Mm-hmm. Like in those times, a facilitator that was needed, that wasn't.
They didn't have the capacity
the facilitator we were paying. You know what I mean?
And like, that was the thing is like, I don't think that I should have, and this maybe there's some spiritual ego here too. And I mean, I don't know. I can call my own ass out if that's what's happening. But like, I shouldn't have the largest capacity to hold space for people while I'm a participant of a retreat. That space should be held by the facilitator.
Right.
I shouldn't be holding the space for the facilitator. That was another thing that became really distracting and really frustrating, was that during the human design experiences that were fucking amazing, I just want to say that again, the overall facilitator of the retreat kept interrupting to have her questions answered before the rest of us. And was getting mad and upset when she wasn't getting the answers from her sister that she wanted to.
Yeah. Also, in terms of the things that were included, the snorkeling was never spoken of.
She did say, no, she said that she decided we weren't going to do it because there was only three of us and it didn't make sense.
Oh, cool. Party.
She said that when you were in the cab on the way there.
Oh, okay.
You were there.
When I was being taken. But the one thing that was kind of like also toted in addition to this like skincare workshop, these daily human design exercises, the daily and nightly yoga, all of that, the all-inclusive retreat
that included two meals.
Because the person facilitating the retreat can't eat more than two meals a day because they get an extended stomach.
I get a distended belly when I eat two meals a day. So I thought this would be an opportunity for everyone to, you know, lose a couple of pounds, was what she said to me.
No. Yeah, dude. There was a lot of, especially for me, like coming there being like, I'm trying to heal my fucking body dysmorphia and my negative body image and all of this stuff. And then like just having a lot of really weird stuff around food happen was like,
yeah, it was really activating even for me. And I would say that like, that's not something I'm really currently working on. The yoga instructor, like the language used was not trauma informed. So there was a lot of like, if you're too heavy to do that, you can do this.
Yeah. Or like, oh, you must be really hungry, to the person like ordering like more cake. Or like I ordered when we didn't have lunch one day and we just literally steamed our fucking bodies for like an hour in a sweat lodge. I ordered a hamburguesa and it was like, it had to be this whole like, oh my gosh, yeah, girl. Like, you know, like.
I never order hamburguesas, but when I do, they're so good. That was like the whole, like that was the, that was the general consensus. And like, it was like eyebrow raising that we would eat a fucking hamburger.
Yeah. Like it was this cool, like rebel thing that I was doing. And I was like, I'm just fucking hungry. I've literally had scrambled eggs. Like two scrambled eggs and like some, you know, like it's been time and it's hot. We've been, I don't know. It was just like, yeah. So the food stuff was difficult as well. But anyway.
Yeah. It was just, you know, it's like, I am not the police of this stuff either. Like I know that people are showing up to all of this doing their fucking best. The best was not what was happening here. I highly encourage anyone who's going to pay money to go on a retreat to find one that has reviews.
Yeah.
Like in hindsight, we didn't do that. But I mean, the website looks legit, right? Like
super legit.
Go on a retreat that you're actually being recommended by someone that you know. Because there is no monitoring, right? There is no like rules with this. Anyone can host a retreat. Speaking of which, Dry Hard Pod is going to host a retreat, I think. We just don't know the details
yet.
And because of our experience in Mexico, we feel like we know what not to do, which feels really good for me anyways.
Totally. And I think you really like have to, I don't know, just put the experience of the people who are like showing up and being vulnerable and like opening themselves up to like do hard work first. And not like I expect to be like waited on fucking head to toe and checked in on and stuff, but it was just very much like, this is what I do, so this is what we're doing, and this is what I want to have for dinner, so this is what we're doing, and this is what like I want to do for the day, and I'm not feeling up for this, so I'm not going to do it. And yeah, just a lot of like internal drama. I think all of the facilitators got massages before anyone of us did.
And there was a lot of like, I would say, inappropriate behavior, like FaceTiming their husband at the dinner table while Kaylee was getting a massage, like loudly like screaming FaceTiming. And there was just a lot of like what I've been calling like an overall like deafness to what was needed and what was happening in that person's general vicinity. It's really, really bizarre stuff. And so I've been called to put together an email and give feedback to the facilitator. So I will keep everyone updated on that as well. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. I also, I feel like the parts that I were the most excited about were like the traditional Mayan ceremonies and being able to like get to, I don't know, just like participate in that part of the culture and really kind of honor and respect like the deep history and like connection with nature that was going to be present there. And the like just comments and like dancing and singing and like actually like interrupting the ceremonies both times to either film it or to say a joke or do something while we're supposed to be like chanting and like blessing this land for 13 years more of clean water. And like, I felt so much embarrassment and shame and like cringe to be associated with the person that was hosting the retreat. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like everyone hated me, hated us, because we were these like super insensitive people that were coming on their land to like take photos about it. And I don't know. Yeah, I wanted to try and be absolutely as respectful as possible, but it's hard to like be in that company where someone's like being kind of the class clown in an environment that you're trying to take seriously and respect. Mm-hmm. So woof.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I want to hear all of your feedback. Like, have any of you been on a retreat that let you down? Or like any experience, right? Where you're like, I don't think that person's aware of how bad this was and how bad the experience was. And like, had Kaylee and I not been there together, I would have come home early probably.
Yeah. Yeah, figured out a way to get a flight. I am so thankful that Katie just like jumped headfirst into this thing that I was like, should we do this?
Fuck yeah.
Like, yeah. We literally were like dying laughing every single night. I think it like made our friendship so much stronger. It made like our relationship and like our ideas for what we want to do to the pod so much stronger. And again, like it's one of those things where a lot of people can just kind of jump into this stuff, whether it's providing an online fitness program, whether it's like providing a retreat
or like alcohol-free coaching, right? Like there's mm-hmm. just not a lot of, and I'm not being a hater on that, but there is no regulation with a lot of these things. Like anyone can do it.
Right. So it's really a crapshoot in terms of like how to expect. I deal with that a lot with like my journey with like fitness and nutrition, is because I feel like depending on who you talk to, you can get pulled into all these different ways and these I don't know, these
trends,
genres of thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where like I literally one time downloaded paid $20 to download a PDF that's titled, "It's Not Okay to Eat a Sandwich for Lunch."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's not okay. Right. And like, I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to change. This is going to be the thing that I'm looking for, that I'm searching for, you know, and who knows how many of those that person sold and made money off of. And they were probably really believing in what they're doing because they were doing keto and they lost a shit ton of weight. So they were like, this is great for everyone. And I think it's just, it's hard because you get excited about things and you want to monetize something that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
However.
Right. And there is no untouched, like, subject here. So we're talking like, yeah, question any, like, I mean, obviously we have to have a little bit of blind faith, but even in the new age, especially in the new age, like spiritual world, there is a lot of hoax, you know, like it's not all good for you. And I think we experience that. And also, I don't think that they are bad people or they did it to take our money. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. It was like they had no fucking idea what they were doing was not good.
Yeah. And
I wonder how this episode is going to sound to people. I'm like really curious.
I know. And it's, I remember one of the last nights, like, you know, really trying to be as open and positive as possible. And I felt like I was getting really positive feedback from the facilitators on like how much they liked me and like, and I came back to the room and I was like, Katie, I feel like a fucking snake. Yeah. Like, I feel like I do this thing where I'm like, everything's totally fine because there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. So I'm just going to like roll with this. And it's going to just be this funny thing that I talk about later. But then they have no idea. And it makes me feel like two-faced.
Totally. Well, it's hard. It's scary, you know? When someone who has authority, right, who took our money, couple thousand dollars, and said that they were going to give us something and we didn't get that. And it's like scary when you're in person in another country with that person to tell them you're unhappy. That's like the ultimate edge, right? For both of us.
Yeah. Like, how uncomfortable do we want to make this because we have 5 days here?
And it was exactly what I fucking needed. Like, I learned so much about myself, and that was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And it's so cool to know that we can show up to this stuff. Dude. Yeah. Oh, also, you could drink alcohol while you were there too. There was a bar and we did not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There was, I mean, we were,
oh my God.
We were definitely tempted at one point. I'll wrap this up, but we went to this bar and it was like you walk up and it's like a beach club. So there's like a restaurant, there's a bar, you pay to use their chairs and sit there and you can order food and just kind of swim and know that your stuff's going to be kind of like looked after or whatever. And something about just like being reminded of being in one of those types of places before in Mexico. And just, it was almost towards the end of the trip and Katie and I were just burnt the fuck out. And we were like, just processing everything in real time. It was so hard to not just be like,
fuck it.
We could drink here and literally not fucking tell anyone and just go back to our lives. And it could be like our little mm-hmm. secret, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was glad that I wasn't the only one having that thought.
I definitely,
was feeling really guilty, but thank God they had like 3 different non-alcoholic options. We just crushed some zero proof Heinekens so and ate some nachos or whatever and went about it. But yeah, it was a test for sure. There was lots of tests in that. Dude.
Yeah, but we made it home and we are just going through it a little bit right now, but we're going to be good. I feel better already. Yeah. Just talking and just being here and getting to share is so helpful and would love to answer anyone's questions if they have any about our retreat or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And also just like, you know, this is a tricky space to navigate because I feel like, do I sound like a brat for complaining being on, for like getting to be in fucking Mexico for a week and taking time off work? Dude, like,
but the thing is, I didn't go to Mexico to be in Mexico for a week. I paid money to go on a retreat that someone else was planning and facilitating. Exactly. This has nothing to do with Mexico. The Eco Lodge was amazing and I'm so grateful for those people and
same
it wasn't that wasn't the issue. It was something was promised to us and it wasn't delivered in a way that it was actually harmful, and luckily like we've been showing up for ourselves and doing the fucking work, but other people would not have felt the same there. So if I'm a brat, then fuck off.
No, for sure. I think all of it is just to say like that I appreciate the like dry hard fam and the folks who are like knowing that I'm showing up with good intentions and I'm not trying to be a little shithead.
It was hard to decide. It was hard to decide whether or not to even do this episode or talk about this because this is new territory for us. Like we share personal details about our own lives, but not things that could potentially be harmful to other people. So what we did was we were like, is this harmful to that person? Actually, no. This would probably be good feedback to help that person.
Yeah.
So I would also love everyone's thoughts about that.
Yeah. But also if you can tell who we're talking about or like have been able to like figure out clues or know more of the personal details, just like don't fucking tell anyone.
Yeah.
And don't rat us out.
And don't call me out on the internet ever.
Yeah.
We've already
please.
Talked about this. We've gone over this in other episodes. Don't at me.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Dude.
Well, I love you. Thanks for talking today.
I love you. It was so good to get to catch up and just have an ep where we shoot the shit. So yeah, definitely we'll jump back on here again with more updates soon. And I know we have a few other special guests coming up. So excited.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.